Well, for those of you who are visitors, I'm afraid you've come to the end of a series of three talks about the future. Time is kind of ticking on, really. 2 weeks ago, I shared that 5 years ago, we put together a five-year plan, if you like. That was it. It was called Becoming Stronger, Deeper, Younger, Larger, and Wider by Loving, Learning, and Serving Together, a strategy for an Acts 2 church in Swanage, dated November 2011. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, when I was interviewed for this job, about 6 years ago now, I was asked by the Archdeacon, well, where would All Saints be in 5 years' time? And I said, well, we would have put together a five-year plan, worked our way through it, and be looking for to do the next one. And so this a plan, good that it was, and we've done lots of it together as a church, has now become time expired. We need to be thinking again. And so we are putting together a new one. This is kind of what it looks like. It's called, well, this is the provisional title, Transforming Our Community, Equipping All Saints, a vision to see the kingdom of God come in power in Swanage. And you'll see it's optimistically dated October 2016. And I've got another copy of it here. And you'll see at the bottom, there's a verse which we believe we should put on the outside. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. That's from Psalm 127. The plan is that on the 17th of October, a group of us, the All Saints Committee, the Vicar Support Team, the branch, the small group leaders, the team leaders, one or two others will get together and go through a final version of that and hopefully approve it. And if we approve it, then it will be official, it will go on the website, and it will be what we hope and plan will be the outline of our next 5 years. So, I'd love to hear from you. I've got some extra copies here. It's not just that group of people. If you'd like to see a copy of that in advance, you'd like to let me have your comments, I'd love to let you have a copy. I'll have some with me at the end of the service. Grab one over coffee. I've had a picture in front of me for quite a lot of the week, which actually Pauline Bolan gave to me. It's this one. It says, I don't know if you can just about see it. I don't know if you can see the wording there. The wording says, take hold of your inheritance. Take hold of your inheritance. So it doesn't come out very clearly. But it's over a picture of a rock, and you can see the sea through it. I'm going to come back to that in a little while. This morning, I want to look at the whole issue of inheritance. First, for the people of Israel, God's historic people, and then for the early church, and then for us. And we're going to see that God works in a repeated pattern. So let's have a look at the pattern and see how we fit in. And hopefully we'll begin to see what the new pattern for our fellowship is going to be like. And also for the whole church in Swanage to enable us to fulfill God's purposes. So let's start with the reading. We had the story of Joshua. And I'm sure most of you know the story. God's people are in slavery in Egypt. God raises up Moses to lead them out into the promised land. And he takes them to the edge of the land of Canaan, modern day Israel, and to this place. This place is called Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea. And that's right on the edge of the promised land. And they send out spies to spy out the land. And when they return, they've got a great story to tell because it's a beautiful place. It's a very rich place. There's wonderful food there and crops, a land of milk and honey, as the saying goes. But although they'd seen God's hand at work in releasing them from slavery in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea miraculously, supplying them with food and water, at that point, for most of them, their faith failed. They were too scared to go in. And God made it clear that he just couldn't use them. If they were too fearful to go into the promised land, he couldn't use them. Most of them died in the wilderness. And it was left to Joshua, Moses' successor, to lead the next generation into the promised land. And the first thing I want to say to all of us is this. I don't want to be like that last generation. I don't want to be like the lot that died in the wilderness because I was so fearful, who the Lord was unable to use. I want to be part of God's people who fulfills all that he wants of us. Now, I quoted 2 weeks ago Philippians 3. Paul says, he says, I'm not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. God does not expect us to be perfect, just available. And like Paul, I want to press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me, you know? And just as, you know, David says in Psalm 27, verse 3, he wants to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I know I'm going to see the goodness of God when I die. Of course I'm going to do that. But actually, I want to see the Lord move now, not just when I'm dead. I want to have an inheritance in the here and now to pass on to the future generation, for us to see the Lord moving now. So, what was it like for Joshua and the people of Israel on the edge of the promised land? Well, if you can see it, it's not very clear. We're going to try and fix this projector in the next couple of weeks because it's getting darker and darker. But I took that photograph in 2013. Some of us were here. David and Giselle were with me, and my wife Anne, and Tessa and Ian. And that is taken from the west bank, the east bank of the Jordan. And looking at that, that's the River Jordan there. And there, just there, just there. I don't know if you can see it, but there's a city. It's about 5 miles away. That's Jericho. You can see Jericho ever so easily from the east bank of the Jordan. It's just a few miles away. Just imagine what the inheritance of Jericho felt when they looked across the Jordan River and saw about 2 million people camped on the other side, just about ready to cross. You know, I mean, the what's happening in Calais is nothing on what was about to happen there. Okay. But it's easy for us to forget that it wasn't a bed of roses for Joshua either. He was trying to care for 2 million plus people of different ages. He had one thing on his side, that was youth, because most of the older people had died off, actually. Do you remember Jesus? God said that the generation who turned away, who wouldn't go to the promised land, everybody over 20 died in the promised land. But they were completely untested in battle. They were going onto unknown territory. Only two of the Israelites, Joshua and Caleb, had actually been there before, and they were being asked to go into this new land and conquer it with no battle experience. And the easiest thing in the world would have been for them to stay with what they knew. And they knew what they knew was where they come from, the other side of the Jordan, wandering around the universe. Okay, not the most comfortable place in the world, but familiar. But that wasn't God's plan. What was his plan? His plan was all contained in the opening verses of Joshua, which Ted read to us. If we had to sum up God's instructions, it would be this. Don't live in the past. Get ready. Know where your inheritance is. Be strong and courageous. Obey what the Lord commands. Know that God is with you, that no one will be able to stand against you, and then go. Let's start to unpack this. Don't live in the past. If you read the story of Exodus, you will realize what the ancient Israelites didn't like change, any more than many of us don't like change. The easiest thing in the world is to focus on past security. Actually, some of the Israelites did that. They said, oh, can't we go back to Egypt? At least we had a square meal there. They had all sorts of nice vegetables, you know, all that stuff. But they were in slavery. They were in slavery. Moses showed them that not changing was not an option. They had to move from where they were in the wilderness on to take the promised land. They couldn't live in the past. They couldn't go back. They were told to get ready. One thing in particular, actually, they had to be circumcised. The generation that had been born in the wilderness, for some reason or other, had not been circumcised. And you'll remember that circumcision was a key sign of people being under the covenant. Now, we know from both the Old Testament and the New Testament, circumcision is just not a matter of an operation. It's a matter not of just of the flesh, but the heart. But when the men of Israel submitted to circumcision, as they did a couple of chapters later, they weren't just going through the ritual. They were saying, I belong to God. Know where your inheritance is. God told them exactly where they were going. Your territory will extend from the desert, that's the Negev at the south of Israel, to the Lebanon to the north, from the great river, the Euphrates in the east, to the Hittite country and to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Well, the Mediterranean Sea is in the west. The Hittite country was north, part of Turkey. Actually, it's a huge area. There we are, that's it. You can just see that. You can just see there's modern-day Israel there, okay? And there's the sea. Okay, it's a huge area, part of into Iran, Kuwait, all of Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, just part of Turkey. It's a huge, huge area. And to do that, they needed to be strong and courageous. It was going to take guts and determination to do what God was asking them to do, but it wouldn't be enough. They had to do something else. Obey what the Lord commanded. Joshua 1:7 says, "Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." You see, the law of Moses was designed to keep them following in the way that God wanted. We know from the New Testament it wasn't intended to be a blueprint for salvation, but it was a way of life designed to keep them on track. Because you've got a bunch of people wandering around the desert. You've got to keep them on track. You need some rules and regulations or it's mayhem. That's what the law was there for. And then, know that God is with you. Know that God is with you. God makes it absolutely plain that he would be with them. And he was. While they followed him, he was with them. The only time he wasn't with them is when they wandered away from him, which they did a lot in their history. And then, no one will be able to stand against you. If you read when they were following the Lord, that's exactly what happened. God was with them and gave them success. And then finally, now go. Sooner or later, those Israelites had to do this. They had to cross the River Jordan under flood. Actually, they didn't even get their feet wet, you know, because the Lord stopped up the flow of the water. And to prove it, they took some stones from the middle of the river and put them on the west bank of the Jordan. But sooner or later, the Israelites had to take their courage in their hands and had to trust the Lord and step over to make a step of commitment, leave the past behind and move over into the promised land. So that's the Israelites. That's the people of Israel. What about the early church? Well, you know, it's the same pattern. I said two weeks ago that the early church, the early apostles, knew their Jewish heritage and they identified with their Jewish heritage. And they could identify with all the aspects of history that their forefathers had been through. Let me show you how they learned the lessons of how God works. First of all, they didn't live in the past. The easiest thing in the world would have been for them to spend their time reminiscing about the wonderful 3 years they had with Jesus and how he enabled them to feed 5,000 people and all this stuff. They didn't. They focused on what Jesus had asked them to do in the here and now. Secondly, get ready. Get ready. Jesus told them exactly what to do. Go back to Jerusalem and wait for his gift. They didn't know what the gift was, of course. The gift was the Holy Spirit, but they did exactly what they were asked to do. And then they knew where their inheritance was. Their inheritance was actually a whole lot bigger. It wasn't just Greater Israel. It was the whole world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The whole world is your inheritance, says Jesus. And then he says, be strong and courageous. Well, they were strong and courageous. They were strong and courageous. You remember in Acts chapter 4, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, Peter and John were released from prison, and the people prayed this amazing prayer. The prayer is not, please don't let us be persecuted. It was, please give us boldness. Give us boldness. And then, obey what the Lord commands. What did Jesus say at the end of his life on earth? Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. And we saw last time in Acts chapter 2, there was a huge emphasis on the apostles' teaching of the early church. And the apostles' teaching, surely they were teaching what Jesus had taught them. They were passing on what Jesus had taught them. And then, know that God is with you. That's what the Israelites experienced. That's what the early church experienced. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age, says Jesus. And then, no one will be able to stand against you. Well, they had that experience too. If you read what happens in the Acts of the Apostles and also in the Epistles, and you find out about early church history, what Jesus said in Luke 21 is absolutely true. Before all this, they'll seize you and persecute you, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. I will give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. And finally, go. Go. Remember, Jesus designated them apostles, And we now we know the definition of an apostle is you go. If you don't go anywhere, you can't be an apostle. It's as simple as that. Jesus told him to go and make disciples of all nations. Can you see there's a recurring pattern here? Israel, the early church. You can guess where I'm going, can't you? Us. Us. We're not called to live in the past, you know. Now, I'm not a great collector of things, but one thing I do collect is I collect original hardback children's books. You know, the Famous Five. Did anybody read the Famous Five when they were little? Lots of hands go up. I love the Famous Five. It's cozy. It's secure. You know, people knew where they stood. There's no nasty technology around, you know. Very little telly for a start. Last week, I bought this. The Famous Five. Five on a Treasure Island, the classic children's film serial. It's really good. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm going to lend it to David, who's a filmmaker. He makes brilliant films, a bit like that, actually. They're lovely. Now, what's wonderful about that film, okay, is that it's filmed in Corfe Castle. It's filmed in the village of Corfe Castle and in the castle itself. Okay, for those of you who know about Famous Five, the castle on Kieran Island is actually Corfe Castle, okay? Because Enid Blyton live around here. It's wonderful, it's charming, it's innocent. Even the baddies are quite nice. It's all in black and white. Look at them all. Aren't they lovely? They all speak with kind of cut glass accents as they've been to Eton. It depicts what living in the Isle of Purbeck was like 60 years ago, but it's a lost world. The world isn't like that anymore. Actually, most of the world was never like that in the first place. It never was. Okay, we need to face the world as it actually is, which is different from even 5 years ago. And that means that we've got to constantly change the way we do things because the world is changing all the time. Now, last week, Margaret asked, who likes change? Okay, come on, be brave. Who really likes change? Hands up. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, hands down. Now, interestingly enough, about 20% of people, it was about 20% of people put their hands up here, like change. They love it, okay? 20% of people really hate change. They really can't stand it. And 60% will accept change but need a bit of persuading, all right? Now, if you're either in the kind of grey area, nothing personal about that, okay? You'll accept it, or you're the blue one, which is you hate change, okay? You don't like change very much, okay? The bad news for you is that your vicar is in that one. Because I love change, okay? So if you don't like change, you've got the wrong vicar, but you're stuck with me. So there you go. But the thing is, whether you like change or you don't like it, we are in a constantly changing world. So we have to be constantly changing ourselves. And we try and put in place, and particularly in church, pastoral care and help and support for those who don't like change. But not changing is not an option. So the vision for the last 5 years won't do for the next 5 years. It just will not. Because the Lord is moving on. And if we don't move on as the church in Swanage, we'll get left behind. We'll get left behind. So what's happened in the last 5 years? God has moved the church on massively in the last 5 years. For example, we moved from when I got here, I think we were like a number of independent churches, I suppose we might say, to actually one single church with a number of kind of outposts, a number of different expressions of one church. Something else has happened. Almost all our youth and children's work is done through the Wave. Now, 3 years ago, the Wave didn't exist. Didn't exist. And you know, God has spoken very clearly to us in the last few years. And when you come to read the booklet, I quote some of the ways the Lord has spoken. But I want to come back to something which we mentioned a couple of years ago. Anne Humpage and Pauline and Rick Boland and Mervyn Manning and Buller went off to a prophetic conference in Kent. And they went forward for a prophetic word, and they saw a lady who had no idea who they were, didn't know who they came from, had no idea. And first of all, she said this, I see a rock, and it's got a hole going right through it. If I look through the rock and can see the sea, I believe God is saying, you're nearly there, the hole's getting larger. You might think Then she said this, I can see a beach community. I believe God is saying the methods that you would use in a town or a city won't work for a beach community. You need to seek God for creative ideas to reach out to your community. I see a beach community. You need to seek God for creative ideas to reach out to your community. Well, when Anna, Rick and Pauline and Mervyn said where they came from, she nearly dropped off a chair, I think. You know, she was amazed because quintessentially, Swanage is a beach community. She had no idea where we were from. Now, you might think that a five-year vision plan will be full of creative ideas, and we do need some creative ideas. Well, it has got some ideas, okay? But the good news is, actually, it's not up to us to come up with bright ideas. We need to seek God for creative ideas, okay? What does our vision strategy, vision statement say? Here we are. Inside all, I notice this now. To see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. I couldn't transform anything. Who can transform me and who can transform our community? Well, the Holy Spirit. He's the most creative person ever. He was involved in creating, in creation in the first place. Now, let's get back to our checklist. Where are we? Yeah. Don't live in the past. Get ready. Get ready. The people of Israel, the first apostles, got ready. And when you look at this new five-year look into the future, you'll see it's not just about transforming Swanage. Most of all, it's about us being transformed. The Holy Spirit has to get us ready. But there's ways in which we can play a part in getting us ready. And that's why earlier this year, we agreed as a church in five marks of membership. Here they are. Worship regularly, pray, be part of a branch or a small group, serve on a team, give financially. And one of the things that this document does is go through those five marks of membership and see how they might change and explore how we can buy into those. First of all, we need to worship regularly. We need to worship regularly. And trust me, at the end of 5 years, our expression of worship is bound to be different. I'm told that the 10:30 service here has changed a lot in the last 5 years. Even I've realized that. I was sitting next to Lindy last week. And I said, this really has changed in the last 5 years. She said, yeah, it has. And it won't be the same after the next 5 years. I know for those of you who don't like change, that's going to be difficult, but it's going to move on because we'll have moved on, because God will have moved on. We don't want to be left behind. So watch this space to see what God has planned for us. I don't entirely know. How else can we get ready? Pray. Pray. All Saints was always a prayerful church. One of the reasons I'm here is because 6 years ago, you prayed your new vicar in, which is just a warning. You should be careful what you pray for, you know? Now, All Saints is without doubt the most prayerful church I've ever been involved in. And we had the third, but I know the Lord wants more of us to be involved in prayer. More of us. On Wednesday, we had the third If My People town-wide prayer meeting. And it was vital to be there. We were talking about the health services. David Haynes was there. If ever there was an important issue, that was it. I mean, let's face it, folks. We're all going to get ill, probably, one stage or another, unless you kind of are perfectly well until you die. So it's a really important issue. And I'm proud to say, because I tend to count these things, there were one-third of the people at that prayer meeting were from All Saints, which sounds fantastic until I tell you that it was only 11. Only 11 people praying about the health service. Now, folks, don't you care? Aren't you going to get ill sometimes? Some of you already are. I know that. That's why you need to come for prayer afterwards. But it's really important to be there. We need to engage with prayer more than even we do now. I'll leave you to read the document to find out how. Third, be part of a branch. Margaret talked about this last week. And if I had to talk about one thing that's going to dramatically move us forward as the body of Christ here, what will be absolutely key, it will be, after 5 years, it'll be our branches and our small groups. And I believe the Lord wants us to move to a point where everyone is part of a branch, a small group. Now, I know that many of you decided long ago that you don't want to get involved in house groups. It's not for you. Okay? And you're definitely not changing this mind, your mind on that one, whatever the vicar says from the front of church. Okay? Well, I think that, as Margaret said last week, they're not all going to be conventional Bible studies. Okay? They're going to be ways of engaging with church outside of Sunday morning where everyone can be involved. Everyone can be involved. And already folks are starting to come forward with novel ideas as to how we can form new branches. Just watch the space for details. But please pray for Margaret, who's our discipleship pastor, Margaret Williams. She's doing an amazing job. It's a massive undertaking. If I had nothing else to do, I could do it. But I've got a lot of other things to do, and I can't do it. And she does it much better than I'd ever do it, even if I had all the time in the world. All right? She's doing it brilliantly. So, my desire, and I believe where we will be at the end of 5 years, is the vast majority of us will be in a group. They won't all necessarily be conventional Bible studies meeting on a Wednesday evening, you know? But we'll be part of a group which will help our walk with the Lord like nothing else. Two other ways we can be part of that: serve on a team and give financially. And I won't get into details now, except to say that you will know that God's church at All Saints does not pay for or run itself. If we're members of All Saints, we need to play our part in running it and paying for it. And the overwhelming proportion of people do that already. Again, look at the vision document for more information. Okay, just back to these things. Know where your inheritance is. Let's speed up a little bit. This is our inheritance, Swanage. Beautiful place we live in. And we want to see our community transformed for Jesus. And remember what that lady said. I believe God is saying, you're nearly there. The hole's getting larger. I think we're getting closer and closer being able to really make an impact on our community. But to do that, we need to be strong and courageous, because actually it's going to get tough around here for those who know and love the Lord Jesus. And we need to obey what the Lord commands. Now, let me say this very clearly. There's a huge temptation on the church today to water down the biblical content of the gospel. And if we do so, we are sunk. What did Jesus say? Teach everything that I have commanded. And the way that we know what he commanded is in the Bible. That's why that thing is on our communion table. And as long as I'm vicar, it's going to stay there. Okay. And as soon as the Bible stops being our ultimate frame of reference for our life and teaching, we may as well shut up shop. Because unbiblical churches have a limited shelf life. As I've said to you, there are so many other things to do on a Sunday morning. If I stand up and I teach you on a Sunday morning, which is indistinguishable from what I read in the Sunday Times, sooner or later, most of you are going to say, why bother to come to church? I may as well lie in bed and read the paper. That's what you'll say. And I wouldn't blame you. I just wouldn't blame you. So that's not going to happen to us. A lot of this is negotiable, although you'll see it's full of the Bible. Okay? But reliance on the Word of God as our authority is not negotiable. That's not negotiable. Know that God is with you. Well, we know that. Jesus says, I'm always with you to the end of the age, to the end of time. And we know that no one will be able to stand against you, because ultimately, we're on the winning side. We've read the end of the book. We've read the end of the book, friends. So, Jesus says, now go. Now go. We need to move out, not just out of the building. Clearly, most of us, well, we all spend most of our time outside of this building, however committed a member of our fellowship you are. But the focus needs to change. And you might think, with all this talk of prayer and teams and worship and branches, there's no time to do anything else. Actually, that's not true. I believe that we need to see us all focusing as an absolute priority on outside connections and interests and links and involvement. And in particular, we need to pray for those who take on key roles in our community. People like Ro. Now, Ro's going to be the president of Rotary next year. Now, it's a really important organization in this town. It does fantastic work, but it's really, really important. And she's in a key position of influence. We need to pray for her. Who else have we got? David. Where's David? David Williams. David. Now, David... he's the treasurer of Swanage and Perfect Development Trust. That's keeping the youth centre open. Really, really key. Really key. David Edgington, who led our prayers this morning, he's a governor at St Mark's School. Really key role, you see? Really key. And lots of you are doing CAB link visiting, BSM Communicare. The list goes on and on. Okay. There used to be a notice up in this church as you went out of the door. I don't know if you remember it, some of you with long memories. It said, "The worship continues in the service." It was a picture of foot washing. I'm not that keen on that kind of play on words, but it made a really good point, you know. The way we go out of this place is important. Jesus says, go. We can't exercise an apostolic ministry unless we go. Actually, Lindy's doing just that. She's going. Well done. So, what I'd like us to do at the end of our services is to have a dismissal. Okay? What we're going to do in the future, is we're going to have a final prayer. The leader will say a final prayer. Okay? And then, the leader will say, now go back into the world to love and serve the Lord. And we'll say, in the name of Christ, amen. Okay? Should we give it a go? Let's rehearse, okay? Now go back into the world to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
Fantastic. That's what's going to happen. Brilliant. Brilliant. And well, that was a word in tongues. Sneakily enough, God actually gave me the interpretation in advance, which is actually from our reading. And it's Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I'm going to read that again. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So thank you, Gillian. Okay. Go back into the world to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. He wants us to go back into the world filled and transformed by the Holy Spirit. Rick Bowens, our church warden, came up with a wonderful phrase a couple of weeks ago, which I've written down actually as included in the document. If we do that, if we go back into the world filled with the Holy Spirit, as he said, what is in us will become what is around us. What is in us will become what is around us. God will kind of seep out of us and touch the area that we're in. We are transformed. And then the world around us is transformed as well. Now, for all this to happen, we'll need 5 years, and then another 5 years, and then another 5 years, and I'll be long gone by then, but some of you will still be here. We need to make a start. I believe, and I'm looking forward to your input in all this, I believe that this is our start, this document. And if we can get to grips with what God has planned for us, it's going to be great. I love adventures. That's why I love the Famous Five. Are you going to join me on an adventure for the next 5 years? Let's pray.